Well, access to clean water is an issue not just in Pennsylvania, but throughout the 14-state Ohio River region. While the Chesapeake Bay, the Great Lakes, and other major watersheds have long-term strategies for how to protect and restore water quality and draw billions of dollars in federal funding, the Ohio River watershed, home to 25 million people, has no such strategy or federal funding. A new report provides one major step in changing that. The National Wildlife Federation and the Ohio River Basin Alliance held 31 public listening sessions across the region to find out what people are concerned about and what they want for the Ohio River watershed and its communities. Jordan Lubetkin is director of the Ohio River Restoration Program at the National Wildlife Federation and is here to talk about the report. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
So, why did you hold these public meetings?
So what we did in collaboration with the Ohio River Basin Alliance is we went from the headwaters in Pittsburgh all the way down to Cairo, Illinois, where the Ohio River dumps into the Mississippi. We went to Nashville, Tennessee, to Cincinnati, Ohio, to Louisville, to Wheeling, West Virginia, to Marietta, Ohio. We really believe that one tenet of our democracy is that communities and people impacted by a problem deserve to have a say in the solution. So we went to those communities, big and small, to say like, hey, what are some problems that we want to tackle? We want to infuse those and center those and prioritize those in this big, bold restoration plan.
What were some of the major concerns you heard? The report talked about legacy pollution and also about some emerging concerns.
You know, we see people who are well aware of things like toxic pollution from days past, but also emerging contamination from things like toxic PFAS. We've also seen people concerned about flooding. We've seen people concerned about runoff pollution. Not too long ago, about 600 miles of river were essentially blanketed by a toxic algal bloom. There are still fish consumption advisories along the river. There are still do not swim advisories. There are people in this region that still don't have access to water. They live next to a Superfund site that's been lingering for decades, and those are some of the most toxic sites in the country. So people see that while we've made progress over the decades, there are a lot of serious threats that still remain, and they want those tackled.
A couple of other issues the report highlighted were pollution issues from farming and also concerns about climate change and increased flooding.
Yeah, I'll start with flooding because I think flooding in every community we went to, in person and even online, you bring up flooding. Everyone raises their hand. They can tell you about a specific year or a specific event. I think there's widespread awareness that these sort of intense rain events in the spring are getting worse and that we need to be doing something about it. On the positive side about flooding, I think there's a lot of awareness about so-called nature-based infrastructure, how we can restore natural features of the environment, whether it's parks or wetlands or forests, so that the ground absorbs that rainwater and stormwater before it overwhelms stormwater systems. I think the second issue you bring up, we've made a lot of strides with agriculture and productivity and being able to grow the things we need to grow. However, there is, as animal wastes and fertilizers run off of farm fields during heavy rains and overwhelm systems, they can create toxic algal blooms. The good news there is people know about agriculture programs and farm conservation programs that pay farmers to take specific actions so they can protect soil quality and water quality. The good news is people see a lot of problems, but they also are aware of solutions. And I think what this report gets at the end of the day, we want this report to be leading to solutions that improve the water quality of this region writ large for both people in cities and towns alike.
So what did you hear from people? You mentioned a few things, but what do people want done?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, this region feels neglected. I think there are other great ecosystems and water bodies here in the nation, the Great Lakes, the Chesapeake, the Delaware River, the Florida Everglades, the Gulf Coast. People understand that we have a great asset and a great jewel right here with the Ohio River and the waters that feed it, the Tennessee River, the Cumberland, the Wabash, and all these wonderful tributaries. And I think what they want done is, number one, first and foremost, they want this river and these waters to get the attention they deserve. And number two, they want to see that investment go to local communities. When we talk about sort of a new, like, what are the new economies? What are the new job opportunities? And the water restoration economy is one of those. You know, we're talking about jobs that include engineering, and including like excavation and building and taking down dams. But we're also talking about high tech. We're also talking about biotech. We're also talking about superconductors. We're talking about a lot of industries that need pure, clean water to do what they need to do. So I think when we talk about restoring our waters and restoring our communities and restoring our health, we're also talking about restoring our local economies and our workforce. And this was probably one of the most visceral things that I said is like, we want those jobs going to local workers, going to local businesses and local contractors. And we want the job training and workforce development so that we can make that happen.
And so how do you make that connection between what people are talking about in these sessions and what they say they want for the region and the ability to draw federal funds for the Ohio River area?
So what we're doing is we're using the Finding Smith's report to really help craft a restoration plan for the region. And that plan, there are some technical committees working on it that get at what does the science say? So what we're doing is really infusing what the science says of what communities want. That plan, written under the leadership of the Ohio River Basin Alliance, will be delivered to the U.S. Congress, and that will essentially be a case statement. Like, here's where we are, here's what needs to be done, and here are some solutions so we can start tackling these problems. And what we hope is that year over year, we'll see a federal investment so we can start accelerating progress in tackling these issues.
What will things look like, you know, if this all comes to pass? How will the Ohio River region be different?
We talk about how it'll be different. I think there are some big goals that we're still not meeting. I think we need to, number one, first and foremost, ensure that every single person in this region has access to clean, safe, and affordable drinking water and water sanitation services. But how else will it look differently? Once we clean up these areas, let's open up to recreation. Let's open up to access. Let's make sure we have connected water routes. Let's make sure we have camping and swimming and fishing. Let's make sure people know about the wonderful tourist destination that this is. Not just tourist destination, it's a great place to live. But I think this is a place where we can have both job creation and industry and clean water and tourism and a great quality of life.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Jordan Lubetkin is director of the Ohio River Restoration Program at the National Wildlife Federation. You can take a look at the Ohio River Basin Report at our website, alleghenyfront.org.